Fred Film Radio, Locarno Film Festival, Switzerland.
Fred Film Radio from the 75th edition of Locarno Film Festival. I'm Federica Scarpa, and today I'm in company of Andrew Legge, director of Lola Out of Competition. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, hello.
So first of all, can you tell me a bit about your film, what it's about, Lola?
So the movie, it's about two sisters in the 1940s who invent a machine that can pick up radio and television broadcasts from the future. And they tune into the film, they tune into the machine to listen to music and look at movies and stuff from the future. But then when the war breaks out, they decide to use the machine to change the future.
Where did this idea come from?
So the idea came from a short film I made a few years ago called Chronoscope. And in the short film, the scientist who made the machine was able to see into the past. And I like this idea of this kind of seeing into time, but not time traveling. But the problem with seeing into the past is it's dramatically limiting because you see the past and then what? You can't change anything. So then I came up with the idea of the machine that where you can get information from the future, but you can't time travel. And I like that idea. And then I like the idea of being exposed to culture and music from a different time and how that would change you. And then so that was kind of the genesis of the idea. I love the idea of these kind of punks living in the 1940s, but having all this cultural reference.
Yeah, music, it's really important in this film. Which influences you had?
So the music was kind of the most, it's probably the most important element in the movie. There was music that I just loved, like David Bowie and stuff that we put into the movie. But the other really important thing was, the brief that we gave. So the music was written by a singer called Neil Hannon, who's from Divine Comedy, which is, big Irish band. And the brief that we gave to Neil was that he had to write music, but imagine that when he was writing the music, that the characters who were writing this music were living in the 1940s. So they would have had all the like 40s music around them, but they were also listening to punk and rock and pop from the future and how that would affect their writing of music. So he came up with this whole idea of like kind of piano, like traditional piano, but then also bringing in like kind of synth. So we had, I remember early on in the music process, Neil sent me a video of a guy, a German, playing a 1929 synthesizer, which is all like valves. It was called a Teutonium, in Berlin in a museum. So that was kind of an inspiration, the idea of like electronic music, but on old like valve machines, with kind of futuristic influences. So that was the idea for the music for the first half of the movie. And then for the second half of the movie, the film, we get thrown into this kind of fascist world. So in that half, Neil Hannon had to write music imagining that he was in the 1970s, but it was a fascist 1970s. So the idea of fascist pop songs. So we have like songs like The Sound of Marching Feet, which was like the idea, yeah, like this like right-wing pop thing.
There's,
so that was the idea, yeah.
There's also an amazing cover of King's You Really Got Me. How did you came to that song? It was the song you had in mind or at the beginning or not?
It was quite early on. So we wanted an iconic song. So we had to find a song that everyone, a modern audience would still know. So it had to be kind of iconic song. So that was the first kind of thing on it. It had to be a song that could be, that people could dance to, that was a kind of, you know, an exciting big song. And then again, we loved the idea of rearranging this King song with a 1940s, kind of swing band. So that was again Neil Hannon, our composer, and then another composer called Keane Boylan, who was his band. They rearranged it for us with that thing. But yeah, I love that idea of like taking like 60s music and then sticking it to the 40s and giving it to like, you know.
It was great. This film is made like fun footage. There are inside real footage and fake footage, how long it takes the research that you made. And it's amazing how you mix them together and create this really strange, it's a bit anxious, in especially in the end of the film. So how you created this and how long it takes?
So it was a little bit like the chicken and the egg. So we had our script. Then when we went into pre-production, we spent a lot of time with an archivist and we were going through the archives, which has become a lot easier now because everything is, a lot of the stuff is online. So you can literally go onto AP and you can type in keywords and then you can search for clips. So we did a lot of research like that. So the way we would do it, like there's a scene in the movie where the sisters get arrested. And so I was looking for footage of people being arrested, but also there's a kind of a mob when they're arrested. So I wanted footage of people protesting or mobs outside prisons. So I just do keywords like that, and I would just get clips, loads of clips, and assemble them and try and find the one. So in that particular scene, we found a protest where people had a balloon which had a slogan on it. And I love the idea of the balloon because the balloon kind of moves through the shots. So what we did for that was we got that footage. Then we got locations in Dublin that matched the locations in the footage. So like old kind of Victorian buildings with big archways. So we got the buildings, the architecture to match the stuff in the footage. And then we kind of storyboarded the sequence with the balloons. So we had the archival footage, and then we literally, it was like almost like we were in an edit and we were finding the next shot and we'd shoot the next shot. And then in post-production, we were able to digitally match the slogan because we obviously had a balloon in our shot and we were digitally able to match the slogan on our balloon onto the balloon in the archive. So that was a sequence where we would have really planned it in advance, the whole sequence from start to finish. There were other sequences where we were in the edit and we were missing stuff in the story. So we would start going into the archive in the edit and finding stuff and then editing like that into a newsreel and then going out and doing pickups. So getting more shots to match in with that. So I guess it was both. We were doing it in the pre-production and then we were actually doing it right up until we were almost locked the edit. We were still finding archival shots to put in.
And this is your first feature film after a lot of short films. What was the biggest challenge you had filming?
So I guess the challenges for this was getting money, obviously, always. And it was a difficult film to get money for because it's kind of weird. So when we were pitching it, people were like, that's weird. Maybe not very commercial. So that was hard, obviously, but that was more like the producer's, a problem. For me, it was probably the fan footage, because when you do a fan footage film, it limits you. You can't just write any scene and, with your characters, you have to motivate the camera as much as possible. Sometimes I think in the movie, we pushed that a little bit too far beyond credibility in certain scenes, I would say. But it's always that challenge of like, why is there a camera in the room filming this? And that made it difficult because it was like, there'd be certain scenes that you'd really want to do, but you just couldn't justify them in the film. So it's quite limiting.
Thank you very much, Andrew Legge, director of Lola, out of competition at Locarno Film Festival. And I'm Federica Scappa for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.